Blog Talk Radio.
Thoughts Nation, join us live tonight for three amazing shows with three amazing hosts. In our first hour, join us for Power Over Tomorrow with our resident financial advisor, Tyrone T.S. Mitchell. In our second hour, join us for the Political Corner with host Kevin Hezekiah. And finally, in our third hour, join us for the Pendulum with Dr. Samori Swiger. Source Nation, here are your hosts, Tyrone T.S. Mitchell, Kevin Hezekiah, and Dr. Samori Swiger.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Power Over Tomorrow. I am your host and resident financial advisor, Tyrone T.S. Mitchell, and we are coming to you live all the way from the office of T.S. Mitchell Financial, LLC. Remember that T.S. Mitchell Financial is a registered investment advisory firm, and the information that we provide is not for the purpose of solicitation or purchase of any particular securities, but is for educational purposes. And that's why we want you to continue to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, visiting our website, and continue to giving yourself the financial information you need so that you can make an educated decision concerning your family, your future, and your finances. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am happier than pig in a slop. Yes, I am. But I ain't gonna get that dirty now, but I just want to say this. We want to say welcome to SRN Live Television. That's right, SRN Live Television. And we definitely want to thank you for tuning in and being a part of this new venture that we have here with Source Nation. And, of course, we definitely want to thank our sponsors for helping make this possible. Our sponsors are Zulina Health, Wellness, and Fitness, Paper to Film Productions, Revolution Mills, Renovations, Meet My Types Matchmaking, Blend to Blend Juice Bar Boutique, Urban Grandstand Digital, and New Covenant of Praise Worship Center. Those are our sponsors, and we definitely are looking forward to expanding our reach as we reach out to those who need the information that we provide. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have something I want to talk about today, and I hope you have something you want to listen for. Well, either way, I'm still going to say it. We need to talk about who do we hold responsible for our financial situation. That's right. Who do we hold responsible for our financial situation? You know, we got to blame somebody. You know, when things don't go the way we want it to go, somebody has to be to blame. You know, and do we really believe it's us, or do we really believe that someone has caused the situation? Are we a product of our environment when it comes to finances? Are we still having to deal with the economic disparities that have been placed on us and leaving us redlined in certain communities? So who do we blame for all this? Who do we blame? We're going to talk about that. And, you know, there are a couple of articles that we definitely will make available to you. And those articles are, number one, now if I tell you, if I tell you the articles, then you know what the answer is. I'm going to hold off on that. We're going to do this. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Source Nation, we are going to talk about who do we hold responsible for our financial situation. Source Nation, we'll be right back.
Source Nation, stay tuned. You're listening live to Power Over Tomorrow with our resident financial advisor, Tyrone Mitchell.
Source Radio Network is just one of the many platforms that is used to fulfill dreams of our listeners and create a purpose that will impact the lives of our communities, cities, and the world. It is often said that great things will happen when a group of driven people work together to accomplish one goal. We're giving people the opportunity to have a voice, translate words that haven't been heard, and paint pictures that no one has seen. Source Radio Network is fueling your life's purpose. How can you listen? blogtalkradio.com/Source Radio.
With me is T.S. Mitchell, the independent and trusted financial advisor. T.S., how long have you been doing this?
I started my practice in 1984 when I was 19. I saw something happening and I wanted to make a difference.
You've helped a lot of families over the years. How do you do it?
Well, the first thing I try to do is build a relationship. I find out where you are, what are your goals, and where do you plan to be. From there, we try to design a plan that will help you reach your goals efficiently and economically, too.
Do you need to have a lot of income to work with T.S. Mitchell Financial?
Well, if you can save $1.50 a day, then we can talk.
Appointments are available at 1201 Hampton Street, downtown Columbia, online at tsmitchell.com and 803-744-3417. That's 803-744-3417.
Welcome back, Thoth Nation. You're listening live to Power Over Tomorrow with our resident financial advisor, Tyrone Mitchell.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Power Over Tomorrow. And as I mentioned earlier, our show tonight, our topic tonight is, and I just wrote it down. Now, wait a minute. What did I? Our topic tonight is, who do we hold responsible for our financial situation? Who do we hold responsible for our financial situation? I know what my producer's probably saying right now. Print it out, write it down. She always reminded me of something I've always said, how a long pencil is better than a short memory. All right, so, but what we want to talk about tonight is something. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for something right now, as a young, well, I used to say, written now, all right now. It's a post written by a friend of mine, and as I look for, you know, I try, ladies and gentlemen. I do try to be as well prepared as possible, but sometimes, you know, have you ever had a thought on something, and then you say, wait a minute, that would go good too, and then you're trying to remember where you found it, and you want to put it into the things and get it all together? Well, hey, we'll do it. But said this before the break, and before I go too far, let me just reach out and say, hold on one second here. Let me be, okay. The song we heard right before we came back on was by Anita Jarrell Robertson. Anita Jarrell Robertson, and her song is called "Lift Up Your Hands." Lift up your hands and just shout out. Just lift up your hands, you know. That's a good song. It really is. Because when we're lifting up our hands, we oftentimes just say, you know, just, dear Lord, help me. You know, some say, lift up your hands unto the Lord, and some say, you know, they just throw their hands up, you know. You know, they just give up. But I don't want you to give up, not on your finances. Because remember this now, all that we go through is not new under the sun. Scriptures tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. The things that we're going through is not uncommon to man. It's what God will give you, help you make a way to escape, or he will give you what you need to endure it. When we go through situations, we will find ourselves in the hands of the Lord, because he controls all things. But we also will find, what will he do for us when we hold on to that unchanging hand? He will either change us for the situation, or he will change the situation that we are in. So whichever one comes will be the best one for us. But as we go through these things, we have to recognize something that's at hand. So that's why today's topic is, who do we hold responsible for our financial situation? Now, don't get it twisted. Now, I said God holds everything in his hand. Don't start trying to blame God. Okay, someone once said that, you know, don't go sowing your wild oaks in the world and then pray for a crop failure. All right, now that means more than just, you know, just running amok between, you know, relationships, but it also means how we handle things with what we've been blessed with. I say that what we do here on Power Over Tomorrow is truly discuss how to be better stewards with what we have been blessed with. This is not a, as we always say, this is not the process of a get-rich-quick type of speech or show or editorial that we do. No, sir. This is not about that. You know, it is not about what we don't have that makes us strive more. But sometimes it's what we've been blessed with that makes us recognize that we have a responsibility. So when I ask the question, who do we hold responsible for our financial situation, we have to begin to start looking in the areas that really draw our attention. You know, sometimes we find where we need to draw our attention to. I think Michael Jackson once said it, He had a song called The Man in the Mirror. I hope I didn't give the answer out too soon. I don't want y'all thinking that. I don't want y'all coming to the conclusion before I get there. Somebody say, I want you to follow my train of thought. I want you to follow my train of thought. Then somebody raised their hand and said, yeah, but does your train have a caboose? All right, let's get to the point, brother. Let's get to the point. Well, the point is this, is that we have been given the ability, as it is stated, where, it's part of our motto, and if you follow me on my cycling videos, you see it right there on my jersey, Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the ability to make wealth. Why is it that we must remember our Lord, our God? Well, first and foremost is that if we are going to accomplish anything in life, it is based upon our relationship with him. Oh, yes, you can still be, quote unquote, successful in many things without a strong relationship with God, but is that success a fleeting or is it forever? Well, you see, I would rather have a minimal forever relationship with God than have a maximum fleeting relationship without him. For you see that my minimal success when I'm with God is something that's everlasting. I've said this many times in speeches, and when it comes to the financial success or the spiritual or the success that people want to shower upon you. They say, well, Mr. Mitchell, what makes you who you are? How did you get where you are? I said, well, God first, family second, and business third. God first, family second, business third. And because of my favorite sport, I have to say, and then cycling, all right? Because some folks say, man, you spend a lot of time on that bicycle. Yes, but I have to take care of some other things first. Now, why is it in that order? Because I say this. And I'm going to take the latter part first, or the latter part of the three. See, if I lose my business, I still have my family, and I still have God. If I lose my family, I still have God. If I lose God, I have nothing. So why is that? Is it that we must remember our Lord, our God, for our ever existence is dependent on him? I was speaking with my auntie. That's right. I was speaking with my auntie the other day, and she said that somebody had asked her a question. She said somebody had the audacity to ask my auntie a question, and the question was this. Do you obey God all the time? I mean, have you ever got questions like that? Do you obey God all the time? And auntie, she understands the Bible. It's throw in and out. And she gave her response. I said, well, auntie, you gave a nice response. I would have said something like, everybody obeys God all the time. And she said, I said, because of this, you may not know you're obeying him, but your body does. Nature itself obeys him because it is God that allows that body of yours to get up in the morning. See, when God says you can wake up this morning, your body obeys. Your heart keeps pumping. Your heart is pumping because he allows it to pump. So the heart is being obedient, and the body functions. It may not jump out of bed as fast as it used to do, all right, but it's still able to be obedient to his will, regardless of what you do during the day. So in that case, we all are obedient, because he wills us to wake up every morning. Now, what we do during the day, that's the question. See, when I asked the question today on today's topic on Power Over Tomorrow, who do we hold responsible for our financial situation, it is built upon the fact that we are stewards. When you go to work, you're given, when you wake up in the morning and when you drive to work, you know your job is there. No one has called you and said, okay, don't come in today. But when you get there, do you still have a responsibility for the work that you must do? The answer is yes. So when you have that work that you must do, you are being a steward of that work. So when we are given opportunities in life that are through the will of God, see, God has two parts. He has the permissive will and the providential will. The providential will is what's already been set in place. The permissive will is that he allows us to make decisions when it comes to situations in our lives. And one thing that he gives us an opportunity to make a decision on is what he has blessed us with. He blessed us with three things: time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. And let me add a fourth one in there: temperament. Time, talent, treasure, and temperament. Now, the time that we have, the scripture says, we said in Deuteronomy 8:18 says, so, and remember why? Because we often forget. Now, I know some of you say, oh, I don't forget. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know, sometimes, you know, if your head wasn't connected to your neck and your neck wasn't connected to your shoulders, you forget some things. And you know what? That's just a natural progression of life. Because we have so many things going on. Oh, man, I remember one time when one of my sons was just a little boy, and I'm looking for my glasses. You know, see, back then, you know, I used to wear my glasses like this when I wanted to read something, okay? But, you know, so what ended up happening was I'm reading something, and I'm walking around the house, and I'm looking for my glasses. And now it's time for me to get to my meeting. I got to drop him off at school. And I said, son, have you seen my glasses? I said, son, did you move my glasses? That's what I said. Did you move my glasses? He said, no, Daddy. So I walked around the house looking again. Came back. I know you moved my glasses. Did you move my glasses? No, Daddy. Then I came back a third time. I said, so where are my glasses? He looked at me and pointed to the top of my head. And I said, oh, sometimes life will come at you in a way that you, you know, you often try to figure out which way you're going. Now the young man, you know, he wasn't lying. He was answering the question that I asked. Did you move my glasses? And he said, what? No. And then I came back a second time. Where did you move my glasses? Did you move my glasses? He said, no. It wasn't until I asked the right question that I got the answer that I needed. And that was, where are my glasses? And he pointed to the top of my head. And ever since then, I've been seeing pretty good since. I know where they are now. So when we ask that question, so sometimes we have to ask ourselves the right question when it comes to our finances. You know, we sometimes say, you know, we have too much month at the end of the money. Why is it that there's so much economic disparity between ethnicities? You know, why is it that it seems like it's no longer, or not just, I should say, not just a racial divide based upon ethnicity, but it's also a divide based upon economics, the haves and the have-nots, and even as Fred Sanford once said, if the haves gave the have-nots half of what they have, then the have-nots will have and the haves will still have. But we don't have that all the time. So what we want to do, we have to ask the right question. Who do we hold with financial situation? Each and everything that we do and come about, life is about making choices. It's about making choices. We choose. In many degrees, in many facets of life, what career we're going to go into. We often take time to sit down, I know I do, and have done with my children and other youth, talk about, you know, you can make a choice, a career choice. You may not make one now that's permanent, but get some idea of what you would like to do, all right, and then build and work toward it. When you make that choice and you go to college, make sure that you choose, okay? It's about choices. Make sure that you choose that will be marketable when you come out after graduation. Marketable. You know, don't go in looking for a degree in you know, in psychology and never become a psychologist, all right, or someone in that realm of a field. Don't go into the looking for a degree in social work and then don't go into that field of work. And I'm not just not pointing out there, you know, there's studies about different types of degrees that may not always be as what we think it is. You know, I think one report stated that those students who get degrees in things such as those social areas may not be there 10 or 15 years down the road, because this society, economic power is constantly changing. So we have to find a way to be able to make our children, correction, help our children understand that they have to market their abilities with the right type of degrees. We should not encourage them, and I mean this truly, we should not encourage them to go to college and take out insurmountable loans and then walk away only able to get a job that doesn't even cover the loan payments. What I mean is this. There are many people out there right now that are coming out of college with six-figure loans and barely making $30,000 to live off of. One of the biggest bubbles that's out there right now, and we'll discuss this in one of our future shows, one of the biggest bubbles that's out there right now is the college loan debt. I still believe if you think the housing market crash was something, if we as a nation do not form a sound effort to address the cost of higher education or the high cost of an education, then we are going to be saddled. Our children and our children's children will be saddled with a financial debt that will literally keep them in bondage financially. And then we say, okay, who is to blame because of that? Is it the system, or is it the choices that we make while we're in the system? I say it's a combination of both. It really is. When you play a sport, there are referees, there are opponents, you know, and then there are spectators, and then, of course, there's you, whether your sport is an individual sport or a team sport. You still have a part. What makes a person a great athlete is that they understand the rules of the game. You're in the game. Sometimes you may be thrown in a game that you never played before, but you got to learn how to adapt. You have to learn. And then once you adapt, and how do you learn by adapting? You learn by watching and listening, more so than speaking. We learn more things that are going to be substantial in our life by seeing and hearing and then putting that to doing, more so than we learn by speaking. Because many times when we speak on things, often formulate our answer before we even hear the question. So I'm going to continue to repeat the question today. Who do we hold responsible for our financial position? Now, I was looking for the article or post that one of our former guests on our show, Brother James Klingman. Brother Klingman is the author of, matter of fact, I got a copy of his book right here, Black Dollars, Black Dollars Matter. Teach your dollars how to make sense. Brother Klingman came on my show about 2 years ago, and he did this book, and I tell you, in this book, it talks about economic empowerment or economic enslavement. We have a choice. Let me read a little bit from the book. You know, I recommend, I'm going to give you enough to wet your whistle. Go to the well and get your own cistern of water, okay? These books are on Blackonomics. I'll point that out. blackonomics.com. You can order the book, and it's a great book. I'm telling you it's a great book because I've even given these books out to my clients. And if I, by chance, I have a client that's watching right now, you didn't get your copy, hey, just hit me up, and we'll talk, all right? But it talks about his black people, our ancestors, just sitting there waiting for us to come back and take care of business. Let me say that again. It says, let me go. It says, he read an article that featured African-American business opportunities and relationships in Africa. He says, after reading the article, I thought of the irony of a continent rich with diamonds, other minerals, vast natural resources, populated and owned by black people, our ancestors, just sitting there waiting for us to come back and take care of business. Who do we hold responsible? We need to learn how to take care of business. That's it. There's another author, and regardless of your political position, Herman Cain, who once ran for the Republican nomination for president, but Herman Cain was the founder of Godfather's Pizza. He wrote a book called, and I remember when I got during the book signing, he wrote a book called CEO of Self. CEO of Self. I have it up there on my shelf there, but I'm not going to risk it. Okay, when he wrote that book, I read through it, and it reminded me of something that I already knew. But he put it in a deeper context. When I ask people, have you ever owned your own business? And sometimes folks in the room will raise their hand, and others may not. But then I step back and I said, well, you know, each and every one of us has owned a business. Because the first business that we all own is ourselves. We tell somebody, hey, you got to handle what? You got to handle your business. We tell folks who try and interrupt our conversation, mind what? Your own business. And, you know, when children try to, you know, stand around and listen to grown folks talking, hey, we tell them, go somewhere and play. This is grown folks' what? Business. All right, so business, the busyness of our life is important on and the aspect of how we handle it help the positions that we'll be in. So when I ask that question, you know, it's because, and that question is what? Who do we hold responsible, all right? And the reason why I ask that question is because sometimes people believe that the man is holding them back. Sometimes people believe that they are just a product of their environment. There's many things that people believe, but I truly will always say this. When you look at what you are made of, when it comes to your understanding of finances, you will either know the answer or you will know where to go for the answer. See, the information is there. The sound financial information is there. And you know where to go because you're listening right now to Power Over Tomorrow. Many of you have replied in email, phone calls, text messages, however, whatever form of communication, even just walking, hey, man, I heard you. I'm going to tell you, this is it. Gentlemen would tell me, whatever you do, keep talking because we're listening. And what he was saying was that we may not always respond, or people may not always respond the way you want them to, when you want them to, but keep providing sound information because they're listening, they're learning, and one day it will resonate and they will make that step. So as they're preparing to make that step, understand, we also have to continue to make decisions concerning our finances. So I gave an example a little bit earlier. And we talked about what? Helping our children understand how to be marketable so that they don't find themselves enslaved economically when they come out of college due to tuition debt. Other things that we can do is that when it comes to things, something as simple as this, something as simple as buying a car, do we really need to buy an automobile that is fresh off the lot? Do we always have to have the best and the latest according to what the salesman says? Now, I'm going to venture to say this, and I know some of my cycling friends may be listening. You know, so when we're out riding our bikes, and they look at my bike, and they say, man, that's a nice bike, you know, but then they look at it a little bit closer, and they say, well, wait a minute. Your bike doesn't have disc brakes. That's right. They're bicycles with disc brakes now, ladies and gentlemen. And your bicycle doesn't have electronic shifting. That's right. There are bicycles with automatic shifting. All right. There's no more manual moving the gears. We got bikes now. There's even bicycles with motors built down in what we call the bottom bracket. So that's technology. And there are, and I'm telling you right now, there are people out there that are spending upwards of $5,000, $6,000. I even know one guy that spent $10,000 for a bicycle. Hello? $10,000 for a bicycle. Now, look here. That's a choice. But here's my point. My bike's nearly 20 years old. And now, if you put my bike against their bike, okay, then set them up against the wall. Which one is moving faster? They both are at the same speed. It takes the person, the engine that gets on the bike that determines. One of the best things I like doing, and y'all, you know, if y'all follow me on my on Strava.com, you'll see T.S. Mitchell, and you see the rides and the races that I do. And, yeah, old Big Papa put the hammer down on them sometimes when it comes to riding. I've got to take that 20-year-old bike and leave them wondering what's wrong with theirs. But, look, it's a choice. I can afford, yes, I can to some degree, as long as I get my allowance from my wife. You know, I can afford to go out and buy a $10,000 bike. But is it? Is it expedient? Scripture tells us this. It tells us what? It tells us that though it may be lawful, is it expedient? You may have the right to do it, but is it wise? Depending upon your situation. See, you know, we have choices. Now, if I take that money and I go buy this thing and then find ourselves struggling and behind and can't make ends meet, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Was it the society or the group of guys that I ride bikes with? Was it my peers, that my peer pressure? Or was it a decision that I made? All right? When it comes to buying a car, who knows that you're driving a used car. Who knows that you're driving a pre-owned car if you don't tell them? No one. All they may think is, man, wow, you've had that car for two or three years? You may have only had the car for two or three days. Nobody knows it's a used car. Because what do we all know? We know that when we buy that brand-new top-of-the-line vehicle fresh off the lot, that as soon as it comes off the lot, how much does it lose in value? Many of you may say 20%. Yeah, we all typically say 20%. So if you buy something, okay, now look here now. If you buy something for $50,000, you buy a car for $50,000, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it's only worth what? $40,000. Well, what happened to the other 10? It hasn't even been on. So if you turn right back around, took it right back to them, 5 seconds later, they say, okay, we'll give you 40 for it. He said, well, I just signed a loan. I just gave you 50. That took it off the lot. But what would happen if you found the same vehicle that may be two or three years old, older model, and it may be worth $40,000, but you can get it for $30,000, $35,000. You save some money. So when you have to make decisions in life, look at the cost. Scriptures tells us, you know me, I'm going to tell you the scriptures now. It tells us to do what? It says what? What man goes to war without counting the cost? What man builds without counting the cost? Don't set your hand to the plow and look back. Now, I know some of you may not even know what a plow is, okay? But a plow is an instrument that was used to till the soil, to make it, to break up the ground so that seeds can be planted, so that crops can be grown, all right? So we will use a plow to, yeah, I said we, I know. I've heard stories about getting behind the mule and going, come on, mule, all right? I heard stories. But look here. But we will plow that soil. And now, but the thing is that you didn't look back to see if your line was straight. You look forward. And not just at the tip of the plow, you look forward down the line to keep that line straight. So you will find a marker somewhere on the other end of that field and walk straight to that marker. And now there are other indicators as you go, but you will keep your eye on the prize. We sometimes find ourselves in financial difficulties when we don't keep our eyes on the prize. Now, I have something. Matter of fact, one of our articles that we're going to associate with this program tonight is called Don't Be Your Own Worst Enemy. Don't be your own worst enemy. It says one of the most well-known investors in 20th century was a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham. And he said that the investor's chief problem is that he is his own worst enemy. So sometimes when people want to invest money, they typically are what? Their own worst enemy. There are two things that everyone has to deal with when it comes to finances, when it comes to investing, when it comes to accumulation, and that is what is called fear and greed. It says these two are the most powerful emotions that move investors and investment markets. I said each emotion clouds our capacity for rational and dispassionate decision making. Sometimes when we want to do right with the money that we've been blessed with, we have to deal with the fear of the unknown and the greed of what we want. And when we're dealing with that, we allow emotions to come in. And when those emotions come in, they often, what, cloud our judgment. Many times when we go to purchase things, especially big-ticket items, folks are experienced with helping you cloud your judgment. They will say things such as, when it comes to your money, when it comes to the money that God has entrusted in you. And I say that because I know on our American currency, there's an insignia that says, in God we trust. But a more perfect insignia would be, in us, God has trusted. When we have to handle money, the people that sell, they are experienced in selling. And I know this because I've studied it. We have to persuade you to make a decision. Now, many times those decisions will be made on emotions, all right? Have you ever gone somewhere and said, oh, you deserve it? That was a commercial. You deserve a break today. You may not have done anything. You may have been sitting on your butt all day long, sitting on the couch, but when that commercial comes on and tells you that you deserve a break today, how do you know? What have you done? Sometimes, you know, you don't deserve it. You got to earn your break. I remember working, with my father. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes dad used to go out and do some landscaping when I was younger, and he'd take me with him. I'd say, Pop, I'd say, whew, I'm sweating up here. Pop not even sweating a drop. And I was like, can we take a break? Said, you got to earn it. You know, okay, you may be working. You may think you deserve it, but you got to earn it. And sometimes in life, we have to get back to the point of understanding how to earn. So when we ask that question, who do we hold responsible for our financial position? We have to acknowledge the fact that we many times wrestle with fear and greed. Along with that, we often wrestle with something called overconfidence. In other words, is that we disregard all information that may conflict with our beliefs. What do we do when we do that? We set ourselves up for economic or financial surprise. Have you ever had information come your way? And you say, well, it says don't do it, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. I know I can make it happen. We can do this. Think about the housing crisis. Think about it. Now, I think I may have said this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, or maybe just in conference or conversation with someone. I'm coming from a business meeting a few weeks ago, and a gentleman is standing in the restaurant talking to the proprietor, and he says, "Well, you know, we had a house, but when the market crashed, we lost the house." He said, "Because of the market, because of the market, we lost the house." No, partner, it wasn't because of the market you lost the house. It was because of your overconfidence in yourself that you lost the house. Because common sense planning would have told you, and it probably did, Bill can make it happen. Common sense planning, using wisdom, using knowledge, and using understanding would have told you if you're only making on a monthly basis $4,000 a month in income, and you got a mortgage that's coming in at $3,500, that's not a good deal to make because you don't have cushion there. You know, so when people buy these homes that are large or have these large and giant mortgages, but yet they do not plan for the long-term effects of carrying that mortgage, when they lose the house, they want to blame it on the market. They want to blame it on the financial institution. They want to blame it on so many things. Listen here. If we get back to doing our finances in a biblical structure, in other words, living off of one income, I know it may be hard for many situations and many occasions, but it's not impossible. Probable, but you got to work at it. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take understanding that we have to set aside the fear and greed that we use when we become our own worst enemy. It's going to take us not having the overconfidence to put us in places that we should not be. Another thing that affects us when we become our own worst enemy is that we have selective memory. Hear that? Selective memory. We oftentimes only want to remember the good things and the good things that we've done. But we typically forget, and purposely, some folks purposely forget, the decisions, the negative decisions that we've made. Now, instead of shaking the dust off your feet and moving forward and pressing on, but if you have a selective hidden memory, it says, human nature is such that we tend to recast history in the manner that emphasizes our successes and downplays our failures. We want to emphasize our success in life, but we want to downplay our failure. When it comes to financial decisions, that can be a deadly, deadly decision. All right? And the other point that we want to make is talk about the prediction fallacy. The prediction fallacy is this. Humans have an innate desire to recognize patterns and apply those patterns to predicting the future. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. When it comes to investing, when it comes to finances, no one can predict the future. I don't care how many Ouija boards your financial advisor may have. I don't care how many crystal balls, you know, your investment advisor may have. I don't care how many seances, all right, that you may go to that will tell you how to make money, all right? No one can predict the future. No one. Even Christ himself has said he doesn't know when he's going to return. That's only the Father God. So when it comes to understanding our finances, when it comes to understanding the financial situations that we are in, has it been because that we dealt with our finances in a way that we became our own worst enemy? Has it been because we use fear and greed in the decision-making when it came to our finances? Has it been because we were overconfident in the things that we got involved with, or overconfident in our own ability or inability to make our way through? Has it been because we had selective memory that we only wanted to focus on our successes of life and share the successes and never talk about and never recognize the failure? Or has it even been because that we have a prediction fallacy, that we always try to predict the future when it comes to how we're going to manage our money? Now, some of these things are good. You know, we must fear the Lord. That's fine. You know, greed, you know, we can strive for greater things. We can have confidence, all right? We must have a memory. We must remember the ways, so that way we can be better with the future that comes, all right? And we must also have some form of a prediction or foresight on how we're going to handle things in the future. So those things are good, but they must be placed in their perspective confinement. You know, when it comes to scriptures, I teach things such as keep the text in context. Don't take it out. Don't input things that are not there. Don't take out things that shouldn't be taken out. The same thing happened with finances. Take your time. As a matter of fact, there's a song that came out. You know, sometimes I'm just thinking of the songs. It was take your time, young man. All right, that's all I know. All right? Don't you rush to get old. Take your time, okay? And then there was a song that was slow down. You know, y'all know the tunes. Y'all know it, but just think about it. I know we dance to the beat, we groove to the, you know, the rhythm and everything, but sometimes in a song, you need to just take time and listen to the lyrics, especially if it's the type of song that has a message. Oh, I wish I would have told my producer to throw on the message by Grandmaster Flash. Yeah, you know, don't push me, because what? I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going where? Keep from going under. In other words, we taking our time. Don't push me. Don't get me to try to get me to buy things that I don't need. Don't get me to try to spend money I don't have. Don't get me to try and impress folks I don't like. No. Don't push me, because I'm already close to the edge. I don't want to go over. I don't want to find myself going over the financial edge. So therefore, I have to understand, ultimate responsible person, when it comes to the financial situation that I'm in, and just like this show today, ladies and gentlemen, this show starts and ends with me, at least within the time that I've been allotted. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to come back next week to do another segment, because there's another part of this that I want to talk about. And I want you to think about this too. And this is it. A decision made. Correct, let me back that up. A decision not made is still a decision made. That's worth its own show, and I think we may use that for next week. A decision not made is still a decision made. So the decision I'm going to make right now, ladies and gentlemen, is just to thank you for your time. Remember, continue to hit us up on Twitter at TS Mitchell Power, and continue to follow us on YouTube and all the social platforms. And I want to get right back to where we started. Now, hold on a second, just bear with me. I know the time is running, but I got to give credit where credit is due. Hold on. Let me see it now. All right, I'm trying to find it. Y'all just bear with me. Y'all ain't got no place to go. Just hold on now. Where are you going? I'm trying to find you, because like I said, you know, we ventured. We ventured into a new program. Oh, yes, we did. Wouldn't you believe the Lord has blessed us with a new segment of how we're going to get Power Over Tomorrow out to the listening ears and watching people. That's right. Last week I took an opportunity to go out to Atlanta to meet with the owner of Source Nation, and we're launching a new television station. That's right, television station. We're going to be TV stations in Atlanta. So if you know folks in Atlanta, I want to tell them we're going to be looking for us because we're there. And I believe it was Station 21. We're Station 21 in Atlanta. We're going to be covering areas such as Stone Mountain, Marietta, Alpharetta, and if there's any other Etas out there, we want to get them too. So please, so continue to hit us up, and we are now SRN Live Television. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, SRN Live Television. So before you do anything, ladies and gentlemen, understand that if you want to know more, just visit the website. Is www.yourbtv, not BET. No, don't get that out. yourbtv.info, and you will see our programs that we're having to hit the Atlanta market hard and strong with Power Over Tomorrow and all of the other programs that we have here on SRN Live TV. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time has come to its allotted end, and I just want to thank you once again for spending this time to learn more about your financial future, your family, and all the things that you've been blessed with. So remember this in your walk of life. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind forever be at your back. May the sun shine upon you with its warmth, and may the rain fall upon you ever so gently. Until the next time when we can cross each other's path, may the God of heaven hold you in the hollow of his hand. I am Tyrone T.S. Mitchell. This has been Power Over Tomorrow. SRN Live TV and all our family and friends, be well, be blessed, and be your best.
We'll be back, Source Radio Network, after this commercial break.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People on the fence, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. Crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage bales, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance of tango, skipped the life and tango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she can tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so ditty, she had to get a pitch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night.
Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, Kong. I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool and all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie and run with the creeps because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on again. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. You say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is cooked and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell. Till one day you was found hung dead in the cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Field and Raheem, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom got robbed, man.
Not what?
Again, she got hurt bad.
Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grand Master Flash and the Fury.
That's the hot. Is that a gang?
No, man.
Shut up. I don't hear your mouth.
Yo,
what's the problem?
You the problem.
Yo, you ain't got to put
in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car.
Get in the car.